a 7,000-year-old burial site in Gulf of Mexico. Do either of you want to just introduce, like, what is the site? What are we talking about here?
What we have is the first example in North or South America of a prehistoric offshore archaeological site that contains a lot of sensitive and delicate organic materials in a preserved, drowned paleo landscape.
I've heard that there's this particular area where it's found is something unprecedented. What does that mean?
It is. So we, historically, underwater archaeologists are focusing on historic period shipwrecks. And in the past couple decades, there's been a push and a focus growing on submerged prehistoric sites. But the continental shelves of North America have yet to really demonstrate that they can hold archaeological sites with wood, with bones, with organic materials that normally decay on terrestrial sites. And what this site demonstrates is that here we have not only this drowned landscape that contains the remnants of what used to be a small freshwater pond 7,000 years ago, but that landscape that was covered up by rising sea levels also contains evidence of interments, burial interments from Florida's indigenous peoples. And that's what's really remarkable about this site, is that it now demonstrates that, you know, thousands of years of hurricanes and the violent effects of Holocene sea level rise, even as drastic as that can be, doesn't mean that the archaeology on the continental shelf has all been destroyed.
And have you actually, either of you, been out there? Have you seen it with your own eyes?
We've both been out
there.
What does it look like?
It's one of those things, and I've seen many archaeological sites, and this is the only one that still kind of, I have to take a deep breath before I splash every time, because while it's only in 21 feet of water, it's not a very deep site. It's unlike anything I'd ever really seen before. We dropped down. I remember that first dive that we saw it. We dropped down and there, coming out of the seafloor, are wooden stakes with an exposed peat bottom, with human skeletal material that, in some cases, was actually mobile. So it had broken free from the seafloor and was tumbling around. In other cases, there were still in situ or firmly affixed material on the seafloor.
And how would you describe it, Heather? For you, is it kind of the same? Do you have to take a deep breath before going down? What was your experience seeing it for the first time?
Well, my experience seeing it is very different because I don't dive. So I was topside. I was on the deck of the boat helping the archaeologists determine if the areas they were looking in contained human remains and if the free-floating material was actually human remains. So I could do that remotely because occasionally they had cameras down there, and then they had a laptop up above, and I could look at the laptop. Other times they would actually bring up bags of material, and then immediately right then I could tell them, you know, this is something we need to be concerned about.
And what has this project been like for you in terms of, have you ever worked on anything like this before, Heather?
I've never worked on a active archaeological scene that is underwater. During my master's and my PhD, I had the privilege and honor to evaluate human burials from the sites of Wendover and Bay West. So my eye is calibrated to recognize this kind of material, but my day-to-day operations tend to be dealing with modern cases involving skeletal remains.
And so this was just recently announced, even though it was discovered in 2016, right? So is this something that you guys have had to keep kind of secret?
Well, for me, it was very reminiscent of how we deal with current forensic cases, in that we have to keep information close to our chest because we have to talk with all the stakeholders. And then, of course, Ryan and the Department of State and the Seminole were, I'm just a tool for them.
how much work is there left to do? So you've been looking at this for 2 years. There's only so much that you can probably dig up, right? I mean, I don't know like what the limits are of the amount of things that you guys can pull up and examine. Is there kind of a limit there?
Well, right now our focus at the Department of State has really been to try to get our heads around the scale and the scope of the site. That is how big it is and how deep the deposit is. And we're trying to determine that so that we can develop a long-term plan to manage and protect the site. So not just for the next 6 weeks, but maybe the next 6 years and maybe even 60 years. What can we do today that might help stabilize and preserve it? Because that's a concern that we at the state and also the Seminole and at the county level are really concerned about. I mean, this is not a site that we can, you know, we can't fence it off and put a sign up because it's in the Gulf of Mexico. And so what we've been trying to do is through a lot of coordination with state and local law enforcement, with local homeowners, with the local community and dive shops, is to, over the past few months and actually the past year, is really kind of all put our brains together and try to figure out possible ways that we can make sure that the site is not disturbed, either accidentally with someone dropping an anchor or someone accidentally finding material while they're looking for shark's teeth, but also not intentionally disturbed with people who are artifact hunters who want to loot the site.
I'm wondering, what are some protections out there right now? I understand law enforcement is kind of monitoring the area, even though the official area has not really been announced.
That's correct. So there's state laws that protect the site. It's against the law to disturb it, to even attempt to disturb it, and certainly to collect anything from it. And we've been working closely with the Sarasota County Sheriff's Department, the Venice Police Department's Marine Patrol, and Florida Fish and Wildlife to make sure that there are regular eyes on the site, just to make sure that it's not going to be damaged.
So, do we know who these people are? That the people that you've discovered and you're studying?
Well, we know via radiocarbon dating on two of the wooden stakes that were used in the burial practice that these remains are associated with Florida's indigenous peoples dating back over 7,200 years ago. And that is remarkable to have that kind of preservation and that evidence out on the continental shelf.
Is there any kind of conversation being had with the existing indigenous populations here?
Yeah, we've had a lot of close consultation and conversation with the Seminole Tribe of Florida's Tribal Historic Preservation Office, and their concerns lie just in line with ours. That is that this is a site that we need to make sure is not going to be damaged or not going to be looted and needs to be protected. And they've been a great partner through this process, and it's been a great opportunity to brainstorm, certain ways in which we can get the message out to the broader population and to make sure that people know the significance and the sensitivity of the site.
What has this project meant for your career? Because I imagine you guys do this because you love what you do, and then something like this pops up. I mean, I just wonder, what has this meant for you?
Well, for me, it's been eye-opening to have a chance to meet and talk to all of the various stakeholders, because that's not something that happens a lot, especially in the United States. I often work in Latin America, and it's amazing to see how families and indigenous groups work with an outsider like a forensic anthropologist from the United States. And to be part of this large team where everyone has input is amazing.
And how about for you, Ryan? What has this project meant to you and your career?
You know, from a personal standpoint, my dissertation research was all about the potential for the continental shelf of the Gulf of Mexico to contain archaeological sites, prehistoric archaeological sites. And so, in many ways, this this is an amazing find. Now, professionally, I want to echo Heather's sentiment that it's been just such a unique privilege to get to work so closely with so many different stakeholders in a way that, you know, I think is rather unique as far as archaeological projects go. We really are working with state and federal and indigenous groups and local communities and homeowners in such a way that I feel just really, really pleased that we've all been able to come together around one table and think about the best ways we can manage and share what we've learned about the site.
Do you have any idea of when you'll get to release some of the things that you found?
Well, for my work, one of the research tasks I've been charged with, you know, talking with Ryan and then talking with representatives from TIPO, is to design a project that will allow me to test the effect of different substrates used to cap the site and protect it. And I envision using non-human cadavers and, you know, finding an inlet with similar water values, turbidity, pH, salinity, and you know, taking the time to see how those cadavers are affected, but be it by Venice sand brought in from other areas, even cement, perhaps.
Ryan, do you want to add to that at all? Or
yeah, one of the things that we're working on is to determine the remote sensing signature of a site like this. So archaeological research projects conducted in waters require certain tools to be used, side scan sonar and a sub-bottom profiler. And what we're hoping to do is really pinpoint what this site looks like using those tools so that other researchers across the state and across the country can use that as a marker for an area that might contain archaeological material.
Great. Is there anything that we have not talked about that either of you would like to mention before we conclude?
I know that this experience has led me to finally consider diving. So I won't have to be topside all the time.
How about you, Ryan? Anything that you'd like to mention before we conclude?
I would just like to stress to all of Florida's divers that are in our waters all the time that if they find something that they think, you know, might be significant, whether it's you know, perhaps an arrowhead or perhaps an anchor or basically anything that catches their eye that they think might be archaeologically significant, I encourage them to contact our office, send us a picture. It might be a new site that we can give them some additional information on, or perhaps in the case of what happened at Manasota Key, it could be a whole new site that could result in a lot of neat work. So that's what I'd like to say.
Well, thank you both so much for your time today. I know you're very busy, but thank you for your work and thank you for talking with me.
My pleasure.
Definitely. Thank you so much.